Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, my friends, members of English Lutheran Church, Pastor Baim, we welcome you. There is some food in your cupboards, some money and gift cards to start you out. Some furniture also has been placed in the parsonage. Let us know if there's anything else you need. Signed, English Lutheran Church members. This is the first card that I received from you when I came here. And ever since that day, this card has been sitting on my dresser. And although I didn't always open it up to read it, it was always there as a reminder for me that you welcomed me and called me as your pastor. And now today is my final day serving you as your pastor. And the words that I have chosen for my farewell sermon to you are these words of Paul saying his farewell to the Ephesians. Paul deeply loved the Ephesians. That is not to say that he didn't love the other congregations that he started. He certainly did. But for 3 years, Paul served with the Ephesians. He served with them longer than anyone else that he served with. And here he's traveling down to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And he had to make sure that he would go to the Ephesians to say goodbye to them. And what made this farewell so emotional is that we were told they all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. God the Holy Spirit revealed to Paul and to many other people that when Paul would reach Jerusalem, he would experience hardships and be thrown into prison. Therefore, many people assumed that Paul would be killed. And although Paul wasn't killed, he was arrested and put in prison. He remained in prison for many years, and we don't know if he ever saw the Ephesians again. This is why Paul and the Ephesians are filled with tears, and Paul confesses to them what he has done. He simply wants the Ephesians to remember what he did for them. And there's many things that Paul mentions here. How he served them with humility and tears. How he preached the word to them. How he preached repentance, not only to them, but to all people. How he served them day and night. How he didn't coveted anything from them, but his own hands supplied for his own needs, and by his hard work, he supplied the needs for the weak. And even though he knew that by going to Jerusalem he would endure hardships, he was compelled by God to do what God wanted. And as you and I hear these words, it fills us with a sense of awe and amazement for what Paul did the Ephesians and for his great love for them. But when I, as a pastor, look at these words, do you know what I see? I see my sins and my failures. I wish I could have been a pastor to you as Paul was to the Ephesians. He served them with humility and tears. And I know of times when I served you with pride and arrogance. Paul preached repentance to all people and never hesitated. In the times when God gave me opportunities to preach repentance, when he made it so easy for me to evangelize to someone, and yet for whatever reason, I hesitated and became timid. Paul served the Ephesians day and night, and yet there were days when I had time to visit a shut-in, to make phone calls, to spend more time with my sermon or Bible class, or very simply just to pray for you. And you know what I did? Nothing. I wasted that day and night. Paul worked with his own hands to supply his needs and to help the weak. And I know of times when I have been so greedy by desiring so much from you, and yet I wouldn't always help you with your own needs. Paul was compelled by God to go to Jerusalem, even though he would endure hardship. And there were times when I need to confront someone about something, knowing that that conversation would not go well. And yet, because of my selfishness and fear, I didn't do what God and you called me to do. And I don't say all of this to change your views about me as a pastor or to change your opinions about me as a person in general. First of all, I say this as my cries of confession. I am sorry for my sins and I ask you to forgive me, but I don't deserve that from you. You deserve so much more from me, but I failed. And therefore, the only thing I deserve from you is that the days and months and years from now, you should only remember my failures. But I also say this to you, for you to reflect on your own life. I am not going to stand up here and point out the sins that I know you have done. But look at what Paul has said and realize that you too are not perfect. Not only as a Christian, but also as a member of a congregation, not only this one, but a congregation you used to belong to and a congregation that you may belong to in the future. How you can also be filled with pride and arrogance. How you can hesitate and become timid to preach repentance to all people. How you may not serve each other day and night. How you can be greedy by desiring so much for others, but not willing to help them with their needs. And how, because of your own selfishness and fear, you don't do what God wants you to do. God deserves so much more from us, and we fail. And therefore, what we deserve from God is for Him only to remember our sins forever. and never to forgive us. But if I ended my sermon right there, my final sermon to you, then what a miserable pastor I would be. But for the last time as your pastor, I preach and proclaim the glorious message of the gospel. I say to you what Paul said to the Ephesians. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God which he bought with his own blood. I commit you to God and to the word of grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I want you to focus on that phrase, which God bought with his own blood. At first glance, this may not seem so shocking to us, but remember this. God, in his essence, is a spirit. God does not have flesh and blood. So how can God buy us back with his blood? It's because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who shared in our humanity. He took on our flesh and our blood in order to achieve perfect salvation through his ministry. Because when you compare Paul's ministry with the ministry of Jesus, even though Paul did so much for the Ephesians, he was not perfect. He was a sinner. He had his failures. But Jesus was perfect. He served people with perfect humility and tears. His heart always went out to the people. Jesus didn't hesitate to preach repentance to all people, even including his own enemies. Jesus served the people day and night. We hear of times of how Jesus spent all night long in prayers for people. Jesus was not greedy for anything from the people, but he did everything that he could to supply the needs for others. It is Jesus himself who said here, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when Jesus knew that when he would go to Jerusalem, he would be arrested and suffer and die, he does not become selfish. He does not become afraid. But rather, out of joy for us, he was compelled by God to do what God called him to do. Jesus shed his blood so that we could be purchased by God and for God. Jesus shed his blood to buy us back from sin, death, and the devil. Jesus shed his blood for us, his flock of sheep, that although like sheep we have often gone astray, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are healed. Because of Christ, we have the confidence that God remembers our failures and our sins no more. Because of Christ, we have the confidence that God has wiped away every iniquity and trespass from our record. Because of Christ, we have the confidence that we will receive the inheritance of eternal life in heaven through faith in Christ. And it's with this confidence in Christ that in my farewell sermon, I confidently believe that you will forgive me for my sins. You won't remember my failures. But from the days, months, and years from now, you will remember what I have done. I have preached and taught you God's word. I have baptized and confirmed your sons and your daughters and your grandchildren. I have visited you when you were in the hospital. I called you to see how you are doing. And possibly I comforted you, encouraged you, and lifted you up when you were down. And I don't say this to boast about myself, but rather let all the praise belong to God that he could use me as your pastor and to bless you. That's the confidence that I have in Christ for you. And for you, you have the confidence in Christ that I forgive you of your sins. I won't remember your failures, but I will remember what you have done for me. When I came here, you put food in my house. You gave me furniture. You gave me money and gift cards. And if this were not enough, and I asked for more, you would have done that. And you have done that me for years. You welcomed me as your pastor. Even though practically I had no experience of being a pastor, fresh from the seminary, green behind the ears, and yet you were patient with me as I grew as a pastor. You comforted me. You encouraged me. You lifted me up when I was down. And a perfect example of all of this is when my grandmother suddenly passed away and you showed incredible and deep love for me. You made me meals. You talked with me. You hugged me. You prayed for me. And I am forever grateful for that. And with confidence in Christ, I commit you to show that same love and kindness and compassion to whoever serves as your pastor after me. And so, dear members of English Lutheran Church, as I conclude my farewell sermon to you, I want you to know that I love you and that I leave here in peace. And I don't know when I may ever see your face again, but I pray that God will keep me faithful and will keep you faithful until that day that we receive that inheritance from God in heaven, where he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Never again will we have cries of confession, for God will remove all sin from us. And confidently in praise, we will worship Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, who shed his blood to purchase us for God. And there we will be before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, always. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Nicene Creed, which you will find on page 31 in front of your hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.